And we wonder why folks are turned away from the church. Can't do that on Sunday. Not in here. Got to take that down the hall somewhere, because we don't do stuff like that in church. Maybe we should, whatever it is. This is a poem by William Stafford that reads, "Sometime when the river is ice, ask me. Ask me mistakes I have made. Ask me whether what I have done is my life. Others have come in their slow way into my thought, and some have tried to help or to hurt. Ask me what difference their strongest love or hate has made. I will listen to what you say. You and I can turn and look at the silent river and wait. We know the current is there, hidden. And there are comings and goings for miles away that hold the stillness exactly before us. What the river says, that is what I say. Sometime when the river is ice, ask me mistakes I have made. Ask me whether what I have done is my life." What else is our life but what we do with it? What we say, how we act. There was a sociological study done not long ago of church folks. And they broke it down into folks who were more of the historically established churches, what we sometimes call the mainline churches, Episcopalians and Lutherans and Methodists and Presbyterians. And you know, those folks have been around for a while, and we're really not the main line, if the truth be known. We might have been at one time, but we're off on some sidetrack now. There's other folks that are a lot more popular than we are. But in that study, in looking at churches like us, Episcopalians and Lutherans, and you know the type, we're all sitting here, you know, behaving ourselves on Sunday morning. And the study was how many folks in those churches, I'm talking active people, not folks that show up, you know, on Christmas every 3 or 4 years, but folks that are here, you know, a couple Sundays a month anyway. And asking how comfortable they were in expressing their faith to other people outside of the container of worship. Anybody want to take a guess? Percentages of folks that felt comfortable? Even in their own family. You know, sharing their faith in some way. I heard a 5%. That's what they said at 8 o'clock, too. And sort of low bar there, isn't it? We don't have much faith in ourselves. It's not that bad. It's 8%. 8%, 8.8, actually. So let's call it 9, okay? 9. 9% of folks said they were reasonably comfortable sharing their faith with other people. There were more specific statistics about, you know, if it was somebody that you knew versus somebody you didn't, if it was a family member. The interesting thing is we're more comfortable sharing our faith with an absolute stranger than we are with a member of our own family. And then I think it's I don't know what it means, but it's got to mean something. For some reason, we're just not comfortable. We feel maybe ill-equipped. I remember doing a teaching once and saying, now, what if somebody showed up You know, they beamed in from Mars or somewhere, and they decided the thing they wanted to do first while they're on Earth is go to church. Pretend, okay? They're doing that. And they come up and they hear what we've just say done. You know, we've sung some songs and read some stuff about God and Jesus and some other things. And they come up and they go, "What's this all about?" They grabbed you at coffee hour and said, "What's this? What's all this Jesus stuff and God and Prophet Jeremiah? What is all that about? What would you say?" And you know what people said when I asked that question? The first thing they would say is, "Where's the rector?" Because we oftentimes feel like the person that is best able to articulate matters of the faith is someone that's theologically trained, maybe somebody that's gone to EFM, Education for Ministry. There's a plug in there. Because right after church, anybody that's interested in EFM, just hang around right here. You know, that's the stuff for preachers and priests and maybe poets and prophets. That's the stuff they do. We hear about a prophet in today's lesson from the Hebrew Scriptures, Jeremiah, where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and says, "Before you were anything, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And Jeremiah responded pretty much the way we might, you know, "No thanks. I'm just a boy. I don't know enough. I've not been to seminary or taken EFM, or I've not read my Bible enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not whatever." And God says, "Don't worry about that. Don't be afraid. I'll put my word in your mouth, and it'll all be fine." And that word that I put in your mouth, it's enough to pluck up and pull down. It's enough to destroy and to overthrow. It's enough to build and to plant. It's powerful stuff, this word that I put into your mouth. You're a prophet. And you know, we're no different than Jeremiah. Each and every one of us is called to be a prophet. Prophets were nobody special until they became a prophet. They were just folk until God gave them something to say. And God gives everybody something to say. A lot of times we think a prophet has to do something special. You know, fall on our knees and there needs to be a flash of lightning and we go off to Uganda or some far-off place. But when it says right there, you know, you're to be a prophet to the nations. Well, I'm just a homebody. I'd like just to stay right around here. Well, that language there is not to go off to some foreign country. The language there is to go to somebody who's not thinking or believing or doing the same thing you are. In other words, go to somebody different. So if you're part of the church and you're asked to be a prophet, don't turn to your neighbor and give some sort of witness to them. Go to somebody that's out there that could benefit from what we have gained in here. You know, inviting them to take part in this business of being a faithful people. Now, somebody else saying, "Well, it's not just what we say, it's what we do." And that's true, because words without actions are just, you know, noise. But also actions without some sort of articulation as to why we're doing this isn't helpful too. You know, what do you get if somebody is out there doing God's work but never says anything about, "Well, I'm doing this because I'm a person of faith. I'm doing this because I feel called to do this." If people just go out there and do that work, what do we say about them? "Well, isn't she nice?" Or "Isn't he something special?" That's an astonishing individual. And that's great, but then it's all about singing their praises when, as we remind ourselves every week, our task as God's people is to sing God's praises. I remember the story of someone who was in the hospital and said, you know, nobody from the church came to see me. Well, after we got to unpacking all that, we realized there had been about a dozen people from church that had gone to see that person. But she didn't think of them as church people. She thought of them as neighbors and people that she played bridge with and folks that she did, you know, whatever. They were just those folks. She didn't see them as people of faith. Now, I'm not saying we need to walk into a hospital room and say, in the name of God, I'm here to see you. We could be a little more subtle than that. But maybe more than 8.8% of us could share our faith in some way. By what we say and certainly by what we do. Each and every one of us in this room is called not just to a ministry, we're called to a prophetic ministry. Now, prophets aren't those soothsayers or those folks that predict what's going to happen in the future. They're folks that just take a look around and tell everyone else what they see out of the experience of their faith. So we're called to be a prophet, and that means when we look around and we go, you know, that ain't right, that we say something, that we do something about it. We don't go, well, that's a shame. Somebody should do something. Yes, somebody should. You. Me. That's what being a prophet is. When you see it, you name it. You name it out loud. That makes you not very popular sometimes. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm very clear that I've been called to a ministry, and that is a ministry of being a pastor and preacher, a priest, and there's a prophetic role of that as well. Sometimes the love that I share with people is a little tough love. It might not feel good, but it's good for you. At least I hope it is. But I'm not the only person in the church that's called to this ministry. All of us. And we need to claim that calling. And if we don't know that we're called to something, or we don't know what that something is, then, you know, the person that I said, you know, you don't want to turn to that person and tell them all about your faith because, you know, they already know that. You can turn to that person who is like you, a person of faith, and saying, you know, I like what you've got. You seem to have your act together. I know that you're a person of faith and you're responding out of your call. Help me figure out what mine is. You know, because few of us can figure that out all by our onesies. Jeremiah couldn't. Jeremiah needed help to do that. He needed God to say, you know, before I formed you, I knew you. And we can help one another out. You know, our calling can be many things. We may be called to work with young people, with preschoolers. We may be called to work with older adults. We may be called to attend to the physical needs of people or places, this physical plant. There's even a prophetic role to be played in looking at this building. Somebody needs to look at it once in a while and go, you know, that's fallen down. We need to fix that. Or we need to look at when the building is empty for too many days in the week, and we need to call ourselves to some sort of action and make use of the building as outreach, as mission. People are called to the finances of the church, and that's more than just our treasurer, Gary. You know, there's other people, those that are on the finance committee and others who just look at what we're doing with our money and calling us to be accountable for that. You know, what are we doing with the resources that God has given to us? And there's those of us that are called to work not just in the church but out there in the community. And those of you that do that, you need to let us know that you're doing that. Not for bragging rights, but so that we can be inspired by your story of witness out there in the world. There are those that are called to work in a prophetic role with the homeless and the hungry and with refugees, with all sorts of folks. You know, even accountants and bankers and teachers and doctors and lawyers and all those other folks that do various and sundry things with their lives, moms and dads and grandmoms and granddads and neighbors, all of us are called to a prophetic role. There's not one single person here that's not called by God and called by God to a specific task. And rest assured that even if you feel unable, like Jeremiah, God will supply everything that you need to fulfill that calling. And it's not just going to be good for you. It's going to be good for all the people of God. That collect that we began today with. Where did I put it? Look at that again. Every Sunday we pray a different prayer. The collect of the day. It's what gathers us. It's what collects our thoughts so that we're at least for a moment on the same song sheet. You know, grant, O merciful, say it with me, grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, stop right there, being gathered together in unity, that's what we come together for. Not just to have our individual lives enriched, but we can gather and be made one together, knowing that there's strength in our numbers. And that's not just for our enjoyment, but, and we continue, may show forth your power among all peoples. Leave the rest of it off. That's just a doxology at the end. You know, we end all our prayers with that, you know, with an extra little flourish. We do that to let God know we're serious about this prayer and we don't take it lightly. But we pray that we would be gathered together in unity so that we can show forth God's power among all people, all people. So church is a two-way street. We come and we go. We come and we go. We come to be renewed and strengthened. And we realize that we are a holy people gathered together, but for one purpose and one purpose alone. And that way we can show God's power among all people. And that's our mission going out there. Just live the life that you are called to live. Try to live the life that God has called you to live. It's not a luxury. It's not something that you can do when you get around to it, after you've spent your time doing all the other things that you have to do in your life. And I know that's enough sometimes. Just simply trying to live and get through the day is enough. But in the midst of that, ask yourself if that's the life God is having you live. Sometimes when the river is ice, ask me whether what I have done is my life. Is my life. Ask me whether what I have done is my life. The answer to that question, well, it may mean nothing. It may mean everything. Amen.